arises a tragedy in the life of the king, the best king of Israel. And it comes oddly, ironically, through his own son. The Bible said in verse 1, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right." Didn't matter if they were or not, he just told them that. "But there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land." I've heard that spirit before. "That every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. Here, notice, so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, If the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord." And the king said unto him, "Go in peace." So he arose and went to Hebron. Verse 10, "But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word of truth tonight. I pray that you would touch this people, this congregation, anoint them to hear your word, anoint your servant to preach it. May your will be accomplished and done. Meet with us. Come down and walk among us. Let the presence of God be rich and real. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Absalom sent spies in verse 10 throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. That's what I want to preach about tonight, Hebron. Notice that Absalom said, when the trumpet sounds, when it is blasted forth, then everybody shout these words, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. As I looked at Hebron, I found in looking at Hebron and the things that transpired and happened in Hebron, as I began to look at them and think about them, it reminded me of the church and what the church should be. For as I began to look at Hebron and go through, look in a concordance, and looked in the back of this. By the way, thank you, Brother Heath, for your Bible. I always have at least three Bibles, at least three, a minimum of three, sometimes more, in my vehicle. And tonight, I got to looking around, and there wasn't one of them in there. Anyway, so thank you, Brother Heath, for your Bible tonight. As I began to look in the back of this concordance, trying to get a little thing, and it didn't have some of the things I was looking for. But I looked in the concordance and I looked at Hebron, and I came across the book of Genesis in the 13th chapter and the 18th verse, and I found that the Bible said concerning Abraham that he built an altar unto the Lord in the plains of Mamre. And then it says in the conclusion of that verse, which is Hebron. And therefore, I find that Hebron was a place where Abraham built an altar unto the Lord. And I said, I find many things about Hebron that is reminds me of the church. And should not the church of all places, should not the church be a place of an altar? Hallelujah. Amen. And so Abraham built an altar unto the Lord in the plains of Mamre. And the plains of Mamre is Hebron. So therefore Hebron was a place of the altar. Hallelujah. I understand that in today's modern services of many places that they are doing without the altar. We can't do without the altar, church. We cannot do without the altar. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, how many, now I know God can save anywhere. And God can save you in an automobile. If you're a truck driver, Brother Dale, He can save you in a truck. Amen. He can save you at a Van Halen concert, but there ain't too many saved at Van Halen concerts. Jim Gillis is the only one I know about that got saved at that kind of a place. But you see, you can be saved anywhere. Amen. But all the majority of us sitting in these pews tonight, can I tell you that most of us got saved at an altar in the house of God? Is that right? How many got saved praying in an altar at church? The majority of us. Hallelujah. God's grace is sufficient and able to meet us anywhere. But we mostly got saved, most of us, in an altar at the house of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the altar. Amen. You see, it was in an altar as a young Christian after praying and getting saved at that altar. As a young child of God, just been saved a few weeks, and God had baptized me with the Holy Ghost, and I was praying in an altar one night, just a regular church service like this is, and while I was in the altar praying, I was just about to rise up, amen, and go back to my seat, and God spoke to me at the altar and said, go lay your hands on Juanita and pray. Well, I didn't know anything was wrong with Juanita. I got up from my pew, or from the altar, I went back and sit down looking for Juanita. I didn't see her. She was there. I was just overlooking her. And so about the time I got to questioning, Lord, I know you spoke to me. I saw her get up and go out of the church. Somebody was passing by, and I said, the Lord just told me to lay my hands on Juanita and pray. And they went running immediately because they knew and I didn't know. And they went running out and stopped her. And they came and told me she's outside. And I went outside, and with cars passing by on Harrison Avenue, at the Harrison Avenue Assembly of God Church, I laid my hands out there, and some of the others did. I didn't know anything was wrong with Juanita, but the next day was her doctor's appointment. She had real severe back problems, and they were to I don't know what all she was going for, but anyway, when she went to the doctor the next day, there was absolutely nothing wrong with Juanita's back anymore. Hallelujah. I said, God spoke to me in the altar. Hallelujah. Ah, there's nothing like the altar, folks. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel chapter 47 is that prophetic vision that he saw, that river flowing out from the throne of God, amen, and going down into the miry, marshy places, and everywhere the river went, it brought life.
I said it brought life. But I want you to know that when it proceeded out of the throne of God, where it went, that river flowed down by the south side of the altar. Hallelujah. I said the water, the river, the healing waters flowed down by the altar. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the altar. And Abraham at Hebron built an altar. Now, not only was Hebron a place of the altar, but according to 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4, when David was first anointed to be king over Israel, first he was anointed to be king just over part of the kingdom. And the first place that David was anointed in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4 was at a place called Hebron. And so, Hebron was a place of the anointing. I'm liking Hebron better. A place of the altar, a place of the anointing. David was anointed in Hebron. Should not the church of the living God be a place of anointing? Hallelujah. I know a lot of places aren't. I know a lot of them are dry, but the church should be an anointed place. I said the church should be an anointed place. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, and thank God there's an anointing at the highway. Aren't you glad for that? That's why folks have come and drive as many miles as they do, because they're tired of the deadness and dryness of the church that they have found themselves in. And so it's worth the drive to come where the anointing of God flows from the pulpit to the pew. Amen. And the power of God is on display. Amen. I said Hebron was a place of anointing. Hallelujah. Oh, brother and sister, the Bible said concerning Jesus that in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now I want to tell you something. If Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, had to be anointed, where does that leave us? How helpless, hopeless, fruitless are we without the touch of God and the anointing of God upon our life? Amen. Oh, and so Hebron was a place of anointing. Now, in Numbers chapter 13, Moses sent some spies to view out the promised land. They got over there and they got to looking at that land that God had promised them. And boy, what they saw over there. How many knows what they saw over there? They saw, oh yeah, they did. Pomegranates. I'm not sure. What kind of grapes? Man, they were so luscious and big. Had such pods. Amen. That two men took a staff, a pole, and hung it on their shoulders and carried the grapes in between. Ah, man, I'd like to get a hold of some like that, wouldn't you? A land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. You know where they got them grapes? They got them grapes in a valley called Eshcol. Does anybody have any clue, any idea where the valley of Eshcol is? I can tell you. You ought to know from what I'm preaching on. It's Hebron, brother. They got the grapes in Hebron. It was a place of blessing. It was a fruitful place. Hallelujah. That's the way the house of God ought to be. It ought to be fruitful. It ought to be a place of blessing. When you come in here, sometimes you're loaded down with the cares of a day's work. Amen. You come to the house of God. You face the onslaught of hell. You face ungodly men all around, telling their filthy things and vile. Amen. You come to the house of God. What do you need? You need a blessing. I tell you, the house of God at least ought to be, and thank God it is here, a place of blessing. Amen. And so, let me tell you another thing or so about Hebron. Joshua chapter 15, verse 14. The Bible declares to us that Joshua began to distribute and divide out the inheritance to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he gave Reuben, and he gave Gad, and he gave Benjamin, and all. But in the course of this, a man by the name of Caleb, whom the Bible says in many places, who wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, completely followed the Lord. The Bible also declares about him in a place or two that he had another spirit. He wasn't critical like the ten. He had another spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, if we could get some folks with another spirit. Amen. But listen. And so the Bible declares that while he is dividing, Joshua is passing out the inheritance and said, you're going to live here, and you're going to, this shall be your inheritance, and you'll live here. Caleb walks up to Joshua. And Caleb says, Joshua, may I remind you that 45 years ago, I went up to Moses, and there was a particular place I had seen when we were spying out the land. Oh, I knew it'd be difficult because giants dwelt there. The sons of Anak, those giants lived there. But I saw a piece of property that I just thought that I had to have. And I went to Moses, and do you remember, I know you remember, Joshua. Moses said I could have it. And maybe before he would allow the question that may have popped into Joshua's mind could be brought forth, he said, I know, they're still there. But I am as strong this day as I was 45 years ago. I'm 85 now. But I tell you, I can still do the job. I can still whip the giants. Hallelujah. And so the Bible said that Joshua gave that mountain to Caleb. Does anybody have any idea where that was at? Somebody tell me where you think it might have been. Where? Ah, Hebron. Oh, if you'd have said any place else, you would have been listening to my preaching. Hallelujah. Hebron. Amen. And you know what Caleb did at the age of 85? The Bible said in Joshua chapter 15 and verse 14, he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Hallelujah. Hey, that may not sound too much, but listen, if you read where Joshua divided the inheritance and gave it to them, the Bible said, but they drove not out the inhabitants thereof. And he gave this tribe, but they drove not out the inhabitants thereof. And this tribe, he gave that, but they drove not out the inhabitants thereof. And in a world of total losing and failure, an 85-year-old man steps up and whips some giants. And I say Hebron was a place of victory. Hallelujah. I want you to know the church is a place of victory. I said the church is a place of victory. Hallelujah. How many times have you come into this service and you needed prayer? And while somebody got to singing, either you came on your own or somebody felt like going and getting you and bringing, leading you up here. And the power of God delivered, and there was victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Time and time and time. I tell you, the church is a place of victory, brother. I tell you, we can whip giants. Amen. Victory. I like what 1 John, I have quoted it in this pulpit so many times that you should be able to quote it. And here it is. 1 John 5:4. Can you quote it? You mean I... Has it been that long since I quoted it to you? 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God does what? Does what? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I tell you, the house of God is a place of victory. Hallelujah. How many, I ask you tonight, how many has been born of God? How many has been born of God? Come on, how many has been born of God? Then I declare unto you that are born of God, whatsoever is born of God, that's you, overcometh the world. I said you overcome the world. I said you overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even, I tell you why we overcome the world. Our faith in the living God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the great God of the universe. Hallelujah. Who holds everything in his hands. Amen. The wind and the waters are simply in the palm, in the hollow of his hand. And he gathered the wind in his fist. My God, I tell you, we have victory in God. Let me say this about Hebron. You know, in those days, sometimes a tragedy occurred where a man slew another man. And it was not murder, it was an accident. But because of the way it was, the family of that one slain could get that fella. Even though it was an accident. But there were 6 cities that were pointed throughout the land, and they were called cities of refuge. And if the man got inside, they couldn't do a thing about it, and he was safe. Therefore, they were called cities of refuge. Does anybody know what one of them 6 cities was? One of them was Hebron, a place of refuge. Isn't that what the church ought to be? A place of refuge. Where the sin-sick, sin-tossed individual can come through the doors and find the peace of God that passeth understanding and knowledge, and find the power of God that delivers from sin, and find safety and refuge. My Lord, amen. Hebron, a place of the altar, a place of anointing, a place of blessing, a place of victory, a place of refuge. But look what happened to Hebron. Amen. A man by the name of that. Standing there watching for every man to have a face to bring before the king. He stood there. And whether they were right or wrong, I've met those fighters. Oh, yeah. thy matters are good and right. But see, the king,
going to put in a little barb against the leadership. The king, he just hadn't put anybody in charge over these kind of things. And you know, he really ought to, because you know, if I was given the position to do so, I'd make sure you'd done right, brother. Hello. But I don't know why he hadn't put anybody in charge to do that. I take, come here, brother, and just planted a kiss on him and said, boy, if I was made judge, I'd do something about this now. And the Bible said that slick-tongued individual stole the hearts of Israel. You don't talk against leadership and authority. I don't care if it's not right. Even David would not lift a hand against a backslidden Saul and touch the Lord's anointed. Come on here. Hallelujah. I said, come on here. This may not be wisdom on tape, but the first church that I pastored, I was back there for a meeting, holding a meeting, or whatever, I don't know, maybe I just went down a while right before Christmas time. But whatever reason I was there for, I've held several meetings since then. I went deer hunting, but that's been a long time. But anyway, I had attended service that Sunday morning, and I was so glad the pastor preached that morning. He had me to preach that night. And so I must have been visiting. Must not have been a revival. But he did such a good job preaching that morning. I was invited to some folks' house for dinner. And it didn't take very long for the discussion to get around. They weren't real happy with the pastor. And they began to say something about his preaching just wasn't, and they made some kind of a comment. And I said, well, I don't hear him all the time, but boy, he sure did preach good this morning. And soon as those words were out of my mouth, I immediately started in on another conversation that had nothing to do with anything like that. And just took the conversation away from, and it was never mentioned again. They wasn't going to get me in on that. Hallelujah. I wasn't going to talk about that, pastor. Uh-uh. No way. I know some preachers would have, never mind. Hallelujah. But he stole the hearts of Israel. So he sent spies throughout the land. And he said, might have to strike this from the tape. I began to preach about, I'll tell you what we ought to do. We need to do exactly what, who was it, Joab did, found Absalom out there in the woods with that long pride hanging him between the branches of an oak tree and thrust him through in parts until he died. We need to put down the rebellion. We need to put down that which is taking away, amen, our altar and anointing and blessing and victory and refuge. Hey, amen. I say, amen, it's time to kill Absalom. Amen. Well, God bless you. I told you I wouldn't preach long. Get ready to give us a song if you would, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.